Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. It's appropriate intro music for our next guest. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in a cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, you know, I was hoping, I was kind of promised. I mean, the last time we talked with my next guest, there was this implied deal. And I guess technically we are getting the stump on my buddy Pete Mundo.
We are, but you know, I wish I had brought that audio up.
That's
again.
True. We are getting the edge over my buddy Pete Mundo, though. By the way, speaking of which, this Friday I'm filling in for Pete. But so we are getting the advantage over Pete. But my next guest did kind of say that I would get the edge, and yet he went out today and he made a little announcement. But my next guest is Senator Ty Masterson, did kind of make an announcement today, but I won't steal his thunder. Ty Masterson, our Senate president, is with us now. Senator, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me, John. That wasn't on purpose to jump here.
Well, from what I understand, and I appreciated the invite, but I was my wife and I went out this afternoon. And we did a little door knocking, and we were a little warm for door knocking. But then I had to get to do my show prep, so I missed your announcement. I understand you had a big crowd out there, and you announced something. I will let you go ahead and tell us what your announcement was.
Well, for those who didn't see it, we formalized my campaign for governor out of Clemens Aviation at Jabara this afternoon. And it was, you talk about hot for door knocking. It was hot for an announcement, too. Which made it even better. Right? I was even more humbled by, you know, getting over 200 people in a, you know, hot hangar on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it was a great event. I mean, it was humbling. I was just thrilled to have it.
I heard there was a big crowd. I didn't realize it was that big a crowd. That's impressive. Well, congrats. Congrats to you on having such a big crowd. And now we can pivot into that question, that conversation, which is, you know, why are you running? I mean, I know that, you know, for folks who don't understand the way it works, it's kind of common that, you know, usually those in Senate and House leadership, you get two terms and then you can't run for leadership again. So you weren't going to run for your Senate seat again. So I kind of was figuring this might be in the works, but is that, you know, why run for governor?
Well, it was less about that than it is about where we're at with Kansas. Like I shared, you know, my tagline I've decided to go with is let's take back Kansas. People don't realize for the last 15 out of the last 23 years, Kansas has been run by a liberal Democrat as the governor.
Oh, yeah.
And that has translated. So, you know, when I grew up, you know, we had a Kansas promise, you know, of, you know, safe communities and affordable living, you know, and a shot at the American dream. And I feel like under their governance in that time frame, that's kind of that promise has been broken. So it's time to take it back.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, you know, people, when I talk to, because I get a lot of national guests and some of them will ask me questions. How is it that a red state has such a blue governor? How is it that Kansas is, you know, second only to California with per capita in taxes? How is it that Kansas doesn't have school choice? Some of those things. How is it that we're an abortion destination for travel destination for abortions? Those kinds of questions. And that's all due to the last, well, it's due to Laura Kelly and her predecessors.
Yeah, I mean, really, the worst four of all those 15 years were the 4 years where we had alignment between Laura Kelly and Joe Biden, or whoever was running the federal government. I mean, it was a terrible, you know, drop for Kansas. And it doesn't get covered in normal media sources. People don't understand. We have a crime problem. I quoted some of these statistics today. We had 35 violent crimes happen every day on average in Kansas last year, which ranks us actually lower than New York in public safety per capita. You know, and the education, you touched on that. 60% of our fourth graders are not proficient in math, 72% not proficient in reading. And the outcomes, just don't match our public investment in public education, not to mention the whole tax issue, right? 16th highest tax state in the nation. And there are a lot of good Republicans fighting in the legislature. That's finally why I decided to make the decision. Ultimately, the power you wield from the legislature is not big enough to tackle the out-of-control government when you have a liberal Democrat governor running the place.
No, and without naming names, there's not everybody who's running for governor on either side, be it Republican or Democrat, will be in line with what we need to do as conservatives in order to right this ship, will they?
No, of course not. I mean, you have Vicky, right, but she has a pass. I mean, she'll get every never-Trumper, right? She'll get your pro-choice, pro-Trumpers. I mean, she'll have a fairly high floor in the race. But Kansas needs a fighter that can take it to the, back and really move conservative issues.
So let me ask you, I mean, you and I have been at this a long time. Heck, I've known you as long as prior to even when I served in the legislature. I've known you a long time. What differentiates you from the other Republicans in this race?
Well, I'm kind of the proven fighter, right? I can bring the results. I'm not somebody just talking about what you think you can do. You know, we've been in the fight and done it. And I think I have the ability. One thing that separates me is I connect to the common man because I am the common man. You know, I'm the only guy in the race that's not independently wealthy and can stroke my campaign $1 million check. Right. And so I'm the one that does relate to the people and what they're going through.
You know, Ty, as you know, I served in the legislature. I left the legislature in 2018. Since that time, the state budget has grown and yet by 57%, but, over $10 billion. And yet our population over that same time has grown by only 58,000 people. How do we, and I know you and I feel the same way, that we have a spending problem, not a revenue problem. How do we fix that? How do we turn that ship around?
You need a governor that will sign those budgets and shrink the government. I mean, that's just, as long as you have a liberal Democrat in control, there's always a push. There's not a problem that can't be solved by a program, right, or government spending.
Yeah,
One of the big issues we've had is all that COVID money that flowed through our system, right? You had billions of dollars, which obviously caused inflation, right, come through that stimulus program and got put in, and that's ballooned it up. And then she has ballooned it up, in all the operational costs. So it's going to be difficult. Honestly, whoever becomes governor next is going to have a very difficult time trimming that thing back.
So if you had, and this may be a little early because I know you just announced today, but if you had your 100 days, your plan for the first things that I want to try and accomplish, what would they be? What's your goal on day one? What's your Trump plan on day one?
Well, obviously there are things we can do when you're in the executive branch, right? Just like he did with executive orders, the thing you have to be careful about there is those have to be codified if you want them to last, right? So the next guy doesn't just undo it. But then just proposing a budget that really does trim government back.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I think we have the legislature to credit for this, is how important it's going to be on the same time that you're up for election will be the constitutional amendment to change how our Supreme Court is determined. It's such a big deal. And for those of us who support that notion, we have the legislature to thank for that. Lord knows if Laura Kelly had her druthers, that never would see the light of day.
And we can't overstate the importance of that right there, right? I mean, it's the court acts as an activist secondary legislator. You know, that's how you get forced spending, right? Like that we've had on K-12 and how you get a right to abortion in the Constitution. You get state-owned gaming. I mean, we have an activist court. That's also part of that whole take back Kansas. We have to take back that judicial branch as well.
Well, I should have done this during the break, but you've been really ahead of me on this. But if folks are interested, if they want to help you, if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, most importantly, what's the website? What's the best way for them to get out to support you and get involved?
Oh, you can find us on WinRed. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. All you got to do is Google me.
Well, and of course, they can also find your website, Ty Masterson. They can find you online as well. Ty, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
200 people at the announcement today, especially considering the heat. That's phenomenal. I know we'll have you on again. And of course, we will have, you've still got a whole nother legislative session to go through as well. So I guarantee you we will have you on the show then as well, my friend. Congrats to you and the family. I saw some of the pictures. It looked like you guys had fun and a great turnout today. So, best of luck to you, brother.
Thanks, man. I'm so blessed by my family and all the support they've given me. So thank you for the time.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blueball will be with us to walk us through the county's proposed 2025 budget. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about my friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great group of folks. If you're looking for a way to get involved, obviously you can volunteer on a campaign, but if you don't have a particular candidate, theirs is a great way to get engaged. Right now, I know they're working to help educate voters about that constitutional amendment. Great way to get involved and make a little green on the side. You have the power to do that, to help educate voters, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Sedgwick County has released its recommended 2026 budget, which includes a significant overhaul of 911 operations and a notable increase in the general fund budget. The general fund is projected to increase by $18 million, reaching $643 million, while the total operating budget will see a $49 million increase, totaling $1.325 billion. The $624.7 million recommended budget would lower the county mill to 27.881 mills from 28.659 mills. Don't get too excited, though. That's not a whole lot of cut, just so you know. With us now to kind of walk us through some of the budget is Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blueball. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
You bet, John. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I mean, I would cut everything and twice on Sunday if I had my druthers. So let's get into some of these things here. Let's start with this. It's too soon probably to say whether this would mean any real decrease on tax bills, because yeah, it's a decrease in a mill levy from 27.8 to 20 or from 28.6 to 27.8. But I mean, what is that really going to amount to on a $200,000 home? Like $20, $15?
Yeah. And John, you remember during my campaign, remember the mill levy cut last year? I think it was $4.
Yeah, yeah, it's nothing.
Or something and then like that.
But they still captured all R&R, so it was actually still an increase.
Right.
I'm assuming, are we capturing all R&R again?
No. We're actually going to be lower than that, and it's going to be a similar. It's not going to be a huge decrease in value is what you're seeing. And I think I've shared with you, you know, just as I campaign, my focus is going to be
appraisal process.
It's going to be on that appraisal
and process. And that has to be because especially if they're still capped. I'm assuming then they're going to capture part of the R&R, but not all of it.
Yep.
So really, that mill rate cut is worthless. If a politician's out there running for re-election and they talk about cutting the mill rate, just ignore it because you're still paying more in taxes. Yep. But I got to, you know, one of the things, like, as I was going through this, Jeff, that one of the things that frustrated me is, like, in this budget, there's two new elephant zookeepers at the Sedgwick County Zoo. Well, those are county employees. First off, we wouldn't have to have those if we hadn't spent $10 million on a new elephant barn. But it's things like that that, you know, we're adding to payroll. Those are county employees. Yeah. Again, how is that helping? You're going to raise property taxes to pay for more elephant barn people. It's like, don't. And I know this frustrates you because it's still growing in government. You were one of those who thought we should maybe move to sales tax or something. Because again, it's property. All of this has been driving up property taxes.
So what I've noticed in my time in government is when we get scope creep, we end up getting issues.
Exactly.
And we look at scope creep. We go back to the 80s when Sedgwick County decided to contribute to to the mill for WSU.
Right.
You look at the Sedgwick County Zoo when they got scope creep there. You look at Exploration Place. When we get out to the general operations, running the county jail, the sheriff's department, property right. taxes, the treasurer, when we get out of that scope, it seems as though this is where these issues
come. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember when I was talking with the members of the commission who supported the $10 million barn, and I was opposed to it. They were supportive of it. Well, now here we are a year later, and now we're hiring more employees because we built the barn. Well, you never told us that you needed to hire two new zookeepers. It's like you said, scope creep.
And you remember last year when that barn came, it was after the election.
Oh, of course it was.
It was kind of like in the lame duck session.
Yes.
Hey, we've got an extra $10 million that we're going to have to spend on an elephant barn. And then this year.
Didn't have to, but they wanted to.
Hey, now we've got to man this thing.
Right. Yeah. You know? Well, they should have thought of that when you built the damn thing instead of going to the taxpayers. How about Wink Hartman or Phil Ruffin or one of these other rich guys put their name on it and it doesn't cost us anything. We're still paying.
At the end of the day, you're going to hear me go on and on about the valuation process. But you're right. We've got to cut the spending.
Yeah.
The spending's got to stop regardless of how you collect the bill.
Let me ask you another question. I know there's major increases in 911 funding, which there's arguments that could be made on that. And frankly, I question whether or not there weren't any heads that rolled over that last incident. But Commissioner Howell has challenged whether they're needed, whether other counties operate emergency communications in the same way. Are his concerns valid? I mean, I know he got a little pushback on that. What are your thoughts?
No, I think so. We need to continue to, there's been a lot of discussion around the 911 and with the Jensen Hughes recommendations and what's going to be the best path going forward. I don't know that it's just throwing 20 new employees out there. I think we've got to look at the overall processes and, do you have to have two people on every call, and Commissioner Howell speaks a lot about a direct non-emergency line so that, now you've got two people on a call that's non-emergency line,
right.
So there's some things that we've got to iron out there.
It's, it's just, again, I like you just said, it's creep. It seems like another example of creep where we're not necessarily looking for the most efficient way to do things. We're just throwing more money at the problem in the hopes that it makes the problem go away. We're talking with Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blueball. Getting back to what you were talking about in the appraisal process, that does seem to be the biggest issue that I keep hearing. And I'll give you a good example in the development that I live in. You and I have talked about this before, because I've seen my home grow in value, assessed value by $100,000 in the last 10 years. And you also know that we've done nothing but mow the lawn. But in that same period of time, we've had a whole development of duplexes go up in the adjacent, the guy used to farm. Now it's no longer farm. Now it's about 20 really nice little duplexes, sweet little homes, but they're valued at about $200,000 per side. So the units themselves, $400,000. And, there's other houses that have built single family homes within our development. So all that's doing is raising the assessed value on our home, but we've done nothing. And I think this is part of the problem with assessments.
And it's just the overall valuation process. And there's
right.
no check and balance.
There
in the
you
valuation
go. Exactly.
Process. 70% of all appeals, zero change. Commercial, it was around 85%, no change.
So how do we fix that?
So myself, Commissioner Howell, some of the other commissioners, we're working together on a type of bill of rights, so to speak, for the taxpayers. And we're wanting to ensure we have fair appeal processes within Sedgwick County as well as BODA. And we're working on a lot of things that are be going on our legislative agenda. Look, last year everybody said we're going to address property taxes and nobody did it. So I think it's time, as the largest county in the state of Kansas, that we get something out there on our legislative agenda and say, look, at least you've got to get the process correct for valuations. Because right now, you talk to some business owners, some business owners will tell you we're $1 million undervalued, and you got poor folks down there in Southwest Sedgwick County that are on fixed incomes that are way overvalued, that have a lot of deferred maintenance on their property, and there's no way that they could ever sell that property for that time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the issue. And as you get folks that are older, seniors that are living on a fixed income, and now they're looking at, I can't afford to keep making my property tax payment, or, you know, heaven forbid, they get forced out of their homes. That's a real tragedy, and so that's where we've got to really address this.
We have a good opportunity here. We have an opening there at the Sedgwick County Appraiser's Office for Sedgwick County Appraisers.
Right, so I saw that.
I think it's time now that we start looking at what Sedgwick Countyans really want to see in that.
I'd love to see that. It's a good idea. I know the county will have two public hearings on the budget. It'll host its first hearing at 6 p.m. on July 30th. And then the commission is set to approve its budget right after the second and final hearing at a regular meeting on August 20th. The county has also launched an online public forum for residents to comment on the budget, correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely. We'll be having that evening meeting on the last Wednesday of the month this week and or this month, and we'll go through the budget there, and then we'll follow the other budget cycles and really hope that people reach out to us to let us know. I can tell you, you know, from doing this for 11 years on the Wichita City Council, this is my first county budget. The county operations really are ran a lot leaner than what I've seen at the city.
Oh, I think that's obvious. Yes.
At the same time, there's always opportunities for cost savings.
Yeah, it does seem like the county is a little more efficient with their spending than the city of Wichita is.
And you know, I never pass revenue neutral on the city. At the county, when I look at 37% of our budget is into public safety with the sheriff's department, EMS, you know, those are the things that will get me over the edge where I normally would never pass that R&R.
Well, those are core functions of government.
Yep.
You know, it's not, again, those are core functions. Now, the areas, you know, exploration play. And again, I used to work doing events for Exploration Place. So I could. But even there, EP, you know, some of the museums, I like Jim's idea of going to user fees or some kind of a sales tax or something like that so that those aren't taxpayer funded.
Some way of getting them off the property taxes.
Some way to get them. Yeah, I agree. And I think I know that you and Ryan Beatty are also working on some way to transition those off property tax into a sales tax or user fee.
I think collectively all five commissioners are ready to move the needle on this.
Yeah, I think you're right. Jeff, if folks want to connect with you or contact you, what's the best way for them to
do that? You can send me an email at jeff.blueball@sedgwick.gov or give me a call on my cell phone, 316-640-0656.
Brave man giving out his cell phone. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Delta Force operator and star of the TV series Navy SEALs, Tyler Gray, will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Tyler Gray was the epitome of the warrior archetype, a Delta Force operator, a master of counterterrorism. He hunted the worst bullies in the world's playground, high-value targets, bomb makers, warlords, executing covert missions that never made the news. He's author of Forged in Chaos, a warrior's origin story. He's a leading advocate for veterans' mental health, specializing in PTSD and traumatic brain injury. He developed the LTSD theory, which explains chaos addiction and the neurological rewiring that occurs over time, helping veterans better understand their struggles. He's a former tier one operator. His military career ended abruptly when he was seriously wounded during a nighttime raid in Sadr City, Iraq, leading to a grueling 4-year recovery. He's also, many of you may be familiar with him, he was on the TV series Navy SEALs, which is available now on Paramount Plus. Tyler, thank you for joining us, and of course, thank you as well for your service to our country, my friend.
Absolutely, my pleasure on both accounts. Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Let me start with this. Despite, and I read some of the bio and some of the, you know, little snippets that I was able to find on the book itself. And, you know, some folks aren't aware of this. Despite rising PTSD awareness, we're losing more warriors at home than in war. Is that right? I wasn't aware of those numbers, but I looked it up and it's true.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, if you look at the numbers of, you know, and don't get me wrong, many lives were unfortunately lost in Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as, you know, other things in the last, you know, war on terror. But we are losing far more at home than we ever lost to the enemy. And with, as you said, awareness and treatment options for PTSD at an all-time high, and the problem getting worse, not getting better, you know, for me, I had to look at this and go, well, maybe we've misdiagnosed, you know, the core disease.
When we say, and as I was looking at the causes, is this mostly suicide? Is it alcohol related, drug related? What's the cause of this?
I'd say definitely, you know, the highest factor. I don't know the exact numbers between the two, but definitely the suicide rate is, you know, between 17 to 22 a day, again, depending on how you look at the, you know, how you interpret the statistics. And, you know, obviously alcohol and drugs are a major issue, but I'm kind of more focused on the suicide part. That being said, they actually do have the same exact base cause.
You mentioned that you think that we've fundamentally misunderstood and misdiagnosed PTSD. What prompts you to say that?
Well, it started with, you know, me after the recovery and starting to experience certain issues and going to, you know, mental health professionals, the VA and also civilians. And everyone, you know, told me that I had PTSD, and I said, okay, great. What, you know, I mean, obviously I'd heard of it, but what does that exactly mean? And they told me, and it just didn't fit the way I felt. And the more I asked questions, the more they tried to kind of, I just felt like it was a round peg in a square hole. And so I set on a, you know, multi-decade quest to try and figure out an answer that worked and made sense for me. And for me, that was coming up with the concept of LTSD. That fit how I felt.
Is this something, you know, it's like I've had a lot of alcoholism in my family. My dad, before he passed, was 12 years sober. My brother was 15 years sober. And a lot of alcoholics will tell you that you never recover. You're a recovering alcoholic. Is that something similar with PTSD? Is it something you get over, or is it something you're just constantly battling?
Well, to your point, I mean, I detail my experience in rehab in the book, and I actually disagree with both of those things. I don't think someone is an addict for life. And the reason they are currently is because we're treating it the wrong way.
Okay,
and again, the book goes into that. Yeah, but the real reality is we're treating both addiction. We're treating mostly addiction as some kind of a moral failing or a character defect or a result of trauma. And the reality is, and same thing, by the way, exactly with PTSD. And the reality in both of those cases is that the actual problem is, and I'm not saying that the mental aspect isn't, trauma is a major part of it, but what the trauma does physically to the body is very, very important. It's only now being, you know, understood. And until, if you think of any mental problem, the reality is every problem is mental and physical, because
right,
the brain is in the body. And if we treat these things as just mental, we're never going to solve them. We're going to treat them, and they're never going to be fixed, because the core disease needs a mental and physical solution. And that's what I discovered. And the revelation of that and how it worked for me forced me to write the book to tell others.
That is true, because, you know, you'll see many alcoholics, for example, that, you know, they may treat the mental elements, but then they'll take up cigarettes, or they'll take up gambling, or they'll take up so many other things because they're still treating the physical dependency or whatever. So I can see where you're going with that. Let me ask
you a
couple. We're talking, by the way, with Delta Force operator and star of the TV series Navy SEALs, Tyler Gray. Let me kind of pivot. I've got to ask you just some of the about your life and about some of the things that you've seen. The series Navy SEAL, I love it. I watched it. I know my wife and I've watched it. It's available on CBS and Paramount Plus. How accurate is the show? I mean, how well does it describe in reality? I mean, obviously it's Hollywood, but how accurate is it?
Yeah. So I was, you know, in addition to being on camera as an actor, I was also a producer on the show. I was a writer on the last season, and I directed several episodes. So at the end of the day, the way it works is that, you know, look, it's Hollywood, and you've got to fictionalize stuff. You know, if you told people sitting around waiting for a mission, no one would watch it, right?
So right, yes.
Definitely, you know what I mean? That's just, it is what it is. So it's definitely, you know, it's a Hollywood TV show. That being said, myself and there were many other veterans working on that show, both in the writer's room and on set, and we all went way out of our way to instill as much authenticity as we could. And quite frankly, CBS and all the executive producers went out of their way to make sure that happened, or allowed us, I should say, to do that. And so the show, I'll say this, it's as accurate or authentic, I should say. You know, it's not realistic because it's not real, but it's as authentic of a military show as we could make on network TV. I can tell you that. And the real point of that show is it's really not, as you know, not about, you know, the missions and the cool stuff. It's about how the job affects you and your home and your families. And that's the core point of the show.
No, without a doubt. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's cool combat scenes and there's cool missions, but it really is more about the families and the interaction between the characters. And it's also more about how the characters react post mission than it is the missions themselves in many cases.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, the missions, I'll say this to your point, you know, the missions are fictionalized to a degree. I mean, if that show was real, we would have gotten a Medal of Honor probably every episode, right?
Yeah.
the heroics would be off the charts. But I can say that the parts with the families and the parts not in combat were, in fact, I'll not only say authentic, like truly authentic, but I would quite frankly say we probably downplayed, if anything, you know, the severity for network TV. If it was on HBO, it would have been a far darker show. But look, we used the conduit of a SEAL team, and this is how we all saw it. We were using the conduit of a SEAL team, because they have a great brand, to tell universal military stories. And that's why veterans like the show so much, is because they could identify with the experience of the characters, whether they were in a SEAL team or, you know, never deployed overseas and worked really any part of the military. And so I'm very proud of that.
You've got a new book out. It's called Forged in Chaos, a warrior's origin story. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, absolutely. So when I started looking, as I said earlier, I was being told it was PTSD. And then I, really went on a quest to find out what I felt the problem was. And the thing that I came up with is every single veteran that I came across and talked to and really, you know, listened to their stories, I realized that we all had relatively the same childhood. And if you think of PTSD, the first word is post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people don't realize that what that actually assumes is a pre-traumatic stress baseline. It assumes that you had, you know, this pre-traumatic stress life that you had, and then, you know, traumatic stress comes in and it throws everything for a loop. But for me and all the veterans and first responders I talked to, we didn't have that experience. We had super chaotic childhoods. And so to lead into the LTSD theory, which is really why I wrote the book, what I realized is when you are in complete chaos as a child, your brain neurologically rewires itself to be calm in chaos. So chaos in the environment becomes your default state or homeostasis, and that's your comfort zone. Conversely, when the environment becomes calm, then your mind becomes anxious and chaotic because it fears the chaos happening again. So you create chaos in the environment to get back to your homeostasis.
Because that's what your norm is.
Because that's what your normal is. And I can tell you, I've told hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of veterans and law enforcement, and everyone, when they hear it, they go, yep, that's my experience.
Fascinating. Well, again, it's called Forged in Chaos, a warrior's origin story. If folks want to check it out, if they want to get a copy, what's the best way for them to do that?
Anywhere books are sold, obviously Amazon's the big one. I'm doing autographed copies on my website at Tyler A. Gray, graywithane.com. And again, anywhere books are sold, and I just appreciate it. I want to get this message out there because I know how it helped me, and I truly believe in its ability to help others.
Tyler, thank you again. Thank you for your service to our country, and carry on the fight, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll take a quick break, and I want to hear from you. What do you think? Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, coming up here on, literally a couple weeks, Guy Benson will be coming to Wichita on August 5th. With our friends at Americans for Prosperity are bringing Guy in. Great way to get involved. Great way to make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And, of course, also we'll be broadcasting live at their offices. Coming up on August 10th, we'll have the John Whitmer Show live remote at AFP's headquarters on August 10th. Check out the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We'll post something probably this week. We'll have that up, and we'll have an event page set up for that.
A lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, looking forward. I love the live remotes. I think they're a blast. So had a great crowd, like 30 people last time. Hopefully we'll have just as big a crowd next time. So,
John, real quick.
Yes.
During the break, had a guy call in, didn't want to say, but didn't want to get on the air.
That's okay. Not everybody does.
That's okay. That's why I'm behind the mic here, and I'm not in front of a camera, because I have a face for radio.
There's a reason I'm not behind a camera.
Okay, quickly.
Same reason.
He asked about, and he wanted your thoughts on the funding cuts for NPR
and
for PBS.
A
couple minutes here.
Yeah, well, and I do Kansas Week on PBS, usually once a month or so. They rotate, but I go in. In fact, I was in there just recently. First off, these are these are independent broadcasters. They don't need taxpayer money. They can hold another telethon. They can do whatever to get private money to make it. So it's not like they're going to go off the air. They're two different entities and two different my thoughts on this. On PBS, part of the problem with PBS is certainly with some of these kids programming, they've gone pretty woke. I mean, when you have Sesame Street. Yeah, and the Muppets that are starting to do some woke stuff there, I think that's what prompted that. NPR is intentionally liberal. I mean, it came out during the hearings before Congress. They found 87 registered Democrats working on their editorial board at NPR. Zero Republicans. So,
and it shows.
It definitely shows. But when you have a taxpayer-funded, quote-unquote, news, I don't think they're news, propaganda arm, but when you have a taxpayer-funded news organization that is 87% editorial board, or excuse me, 87 registered Democrats and zero Republicans on the editorial board, you're no longer an independent. You're no longer nonpartisan. You're no longer unbiased. And so at that point, you shouldn't receive taxpayer money. So I don't have a problem with the cuts. They're not going away. And, it is what it is. They'll survive. And if you feel that strongly about it, write them a check. That's kind of my thought. So stick around next week. We've got some great guests. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.